What's up, guys? Welcome to another amazing, wonderful, impactful, meaningful episode of the J&G Podcast.
You give us way too much credit.
I think if we believe it, they will believe it too, and I'm okay with that.
We cannot inception our audience, Joshua.
It works for Brad Pitt.
Maybe we can, then.
Also, that's Leonardo DiCaprio.
But Brad Pitt's involved in so many strange things, he's probably done it too.
In any case, welcome to this whatever episode of the J&G Podcast. My name is Josh, I am the J.
My name is George, I am the G.
And today we're going to be talking about a classic and something near and dear to our hearts, except not that, but the live-action remake that might be near and dear to our hearts after this.
Today we're doing a reaction versus, or expectation versus yep. reality piece on the live-action Aladdin movie.
Now, Aladdin has been out for long enough to where it's hit Disney Plus, and we're a little late to the party.
Yep.
But neither of us have gone out to see it, nor have we sat down and watched it on Disney Plus. So, we're going to do that today, right now, as you're listening. There's going to be this awkward 2.5 to 3 hour pause. You're just going to have to wait for us to come back up and tell you about how it went.
So, let's see where this takes us.
A whole new world!
No. No. It's taking us to Agrabah.
Oh, well, in that case.
Let's go. So, Aladdin is one of those movies that...
This came out the year that we were born, back in 92.
This movie is as old as we are.
So, 27.
So, it's 27 years old right now.
The original movie would have been part of our childhood.
Yeah, I mean...
So, we grew up with Aladdin, the Robin Williams interpretation of Genie.
Yeah.
The original Jafar, like all of that. Did you grow up with the TV show?
Yes, I love the TV show.
That was all on Toon Disney. That was fun.
And Aladdin was one of those properties, one of those things that Disney did that the sequels were just as or better than the original.
I don't think I liked Return of Jafar as much as I liked the original.
Return of Jafar is hands down...
Prince of Thieves was really great. I like Prince of Thieves.
Yes, the third one is King of Thieves.
King of Thieves, yeah, thank you.
The third one, King of Thieves, is my favorite. I like it more than I like the original. And I know that that may be sacrilegious to some, but it was just very well done. The animation style had started kind of taking a new edge. The musical score in that one was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But... today, we're talking about the comparison of the live action to the original.
Yes. The way today's episode works, because we haven't seen the movie, you're going to hear a bit about what we think about the movie going into it, how we think it's going to stack up in various areas. We're going to give you an overall score of, say, out of 5 stars, what we think it's going to land at.
Not stars, lamps.
Oh, you're right. All right, cool. Our scoring system, out of 5 lamps, how would we rate this movie? So we're going to give our projection, then you're going to have this awkward 2.5 hour to 3 hour pause, and then we're going to come back and then tell you how we felt after watching the movie. So first off, main characters.
So the thing that immediately jumps out to me is you would think that it would be Will Smith as the genie. It's not.
Who jumps out to you the most right now?
Plays Iago, Alan Tudyk. He's Walsh from Firefly. He's Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball. He's probably one of those actors where you don't really think of him all that often, but when you do, you can connect him to some pretty iconic roles. And I'm kind of hoping that he brings what he brought to those other roles to the role of Iago.
My first introduction to Alan Tudyk would have been his part in Dollhouse. Something that every actor in that show had to do was demonstrate a wide range of personalities and different characters that they would play in. And they would have to do it at a drop of a hat. And I always thought that Alan Tudyk was the most compelling out of everyone on that cast. And every time that I see him, he's got something different going on. And I love it every single time.
Yeah. No, He's a really, really good, versatile actor. Obviously, the big genie in the room. Unlimited cosmic power. with the itty bitty living space.
Will Smith is the genie.
I'm going to tell you the first thing that I wanted to, thinking that Will Smith is a genie, is say, let's rewind so I can go back to Robin Williams and his role, because it's a beautiful thing. Robin Williams is, I don't think you can surpass him as far as talent, as far as just charisma.
And from what I've heard, I don't think Will Smith ever wanted to be Robin Williams' genie. He wanted to be Will Smith's genie.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that bothers me before I even see the movie is that they just painted Will Smith blue.
What did you expect them to do?
There's technology out there that you can... That you could have made him look, still look like himself.
There are instances where the live action, like if you could have CGI'd the genie the entire time, but having a real actor in the room is a good thing.
But it's not a CGI. There are suits where they can put little dots on your face and
motion
they can,
capture.
Yeah.
That's motion still CGI.
The thing about it is, you're still in the room with the actor. The other actors are still in the room.
I get what you're saying. And you're right.
And motion capture looks weird.
Yeah. But if they tried to create a digital version of him to put on the screen, even as if they had made it look as lifelike as possible, there would have been some disconnect there.
Mm.
And I think as a creative choice, real life Will Smith may have been a good idea. Now,
real life Will Smith,
I don't know how he's going to do
the
here.
Money aspect. That's what it was.
Okay, if you want to be a cynic about it, sure.
No, that's why all of these live action remakes have one huge name in them.
Okay.
I mean, yes, the name brings them in, the nostalgia brings them in, but also the people who don't who've never grown up on these movies, like people that watch Harry Potter, they love Emma Watson, and. That's what drew a lot of people to Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith is what drew a lot of people to Aladdin.
Well, to just give you something, he's not going to be blue the entire time.
Yeah, but he's blue enough of the time.
It's just going to disturb you, isn't it? So those are the two that we know the most. We still have characters like Aladdin. Played by Mina Massoud.
Haven't really heard of him until then.
Jasmine is played by Naomi Scott, which I've seen in movies. The Sultan, Navid Negabon. Marwan Kazari is playing Jafar. But we also have to keep in mind, we have to see like what he's going to be like. So the CGI monkey there, or the real life.
Well, I mean,
is he a CGI monkey?
Yeah, it's probably very similar to what they did, because Iago is going to be a CGI bird,
right? But
it's
he's probably at least similar to what Jungle Book did. Okay. So we'll see Abu, and we'll have to compare the two of those. Genie that we've talked about, Iago that we've mentioned. I'm hopeful because it's a list of people that I don't know. There's not a lot I can say.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, I'm sure they're great. I'm sure Disney hired a bunch of really good people, but they also may be more fillers being outshined by Will Smith. And I wonder if that's going to be the big distractor, is that Will Smith is in the room right now. He's the attention grabber.
These people are still professionals. They're still going to come in. They're going to do their job. And I don't really think that they'd be intimidated. Now, something that I will say that I do thoroughly enjoy, or that I thoroughly appreciate about this cast, is that there's no cultural appropriation. It is a movie set in a Middle Eastern country, and they got Middle Eastern actors to play the characters.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't get a white guy and spray tan him. They didn't get a light-skinned black guy. They went and got people from that culture that have a connection to that culture to represent that culture.
So you're telling me that they hired a bunch of actors from Agrabah.
Yeah.
To play this movie.
Yeah. Went straight to Agrabah. Have you ever seen Once Upon a Time?
Yeah.
So they did a spinoff, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. It lasted for about a season and a half. there was an Aladdin kind of thing. And there was like this portal that they went through.
Sure.
That's where they went through to get these people.
So do you have any concerns on the cast specifically?
The cast? No. No. Really, my one big concern is yours, is what you already said. Is the Will Smith in the room? Is he going, because he's in the movie, going to potentially, from a filmmaker standpoint, we have to make sure that our big name gets as much screen time as possible.
That's true.
He is one. He is the secondary main, secondary, tertiary?
I'd say secondary.
Secondary main character.
Yeah.
He's the main character at all times, pretty much.
He's a strong support for the protagonist.
So you will get a lot of screen time with him, but do they focus on him or do they focus on...
Is he going to be the support / narrator the
entire
time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that's my biggest concern with the cast. Now we're going to move on to music. What are your thoughts on... Because it was a musical then, it's going to be a musical now, we can assume.
So there are two songs that I will be highly, highly upset if they are not in there.
Right.
And that is One Jump Ahead. That is my favorite sequence throughout that entire movie, besides the Cave of Wonders scene, which is one of the first times that Disney ventured into using CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you got to have A Whole New World.
That's the iconic. You've heard it for years. There would be riots in the streets if A Whole New World wasn't in this movie.
And I would love to hear an original song. Like, I would love if Jafar had a song.
That would be cool. I could get with that. Something that you and I talked about when we were putting this episode together was how Beauty and the Beast had a song from the Broadway.
Yeah, so the Beast song in Beauty and the Beast, after he lets Belle go back to her father and all of that, and he's jumping all around the castle and running up the staircase, watching her leave, making sure she's okay, all of that. That is a song that's not technically an original song, but it's a song from the Broadway play.
Was Aladdin ever a Broadway play?
All of these movies were Broadway plays.
Okay, cool. So it would be cool to have something like that where you took something from the culture that came out of the movie and brought it back into this remake. That'll be fun. I think One Jump Ahead will be fun. I would love a new variation on Arabian Nights. I think that's one song that jumps out to me the most, besides A Whole New World.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do Friend Like Me just because it was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
If Will Smith tries Friend Like Me, I'm going to be a bit disappointed. I don't think they're going to make that move.
So I think that if they do it, I think they'll take it in a different direction. I don't think they'll go the same direction that they took Robin Williams in.
Just a disclaimer. We like Will Smith.
Yes, Will Smith is one of my favorite actors of all time.
Same.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys 2, Men in Black, some of my top movies. I cannot wait for the new Bad Boys to come out.
That's going
to
be fun.
That's going to be such a fun movie, and that's going to be a movie that me and you are going to have to go see by ourselves because our wives are not going to want to go see that.
I want to see Gemini Man. I haven't seen Gemini Man yet.
I've heard mixed reviews about that
one. And I know, but I love Will Smith. I Am Legend is one of those films.
Oh, yeah. iRobot was really good, too.
iRobot was amazing. And he brings this, like, level of fun in every movie that he does.
And
at the same time, there is no doubt that he's a serious actor.
The level of fun that he brings in every movie is the level of intensity that Nick Cage brings in every movie.
Yeah, except Nick Cage doesn't have that level of talent. Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that one with Jaden.
We can't move on from Will Smith without mentioning this film and how powerful a performance that was. We can move on without mentioning 7 Pounds, though. And on that note... Plot. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to stick to the same basic principle of it's the street rat who finds the genie, who becomes a prince, who finds the girl, and Jafar, and all of that.
So,
are we going to have enough plot detail for it to be a good movie by it? Like, could this movie survive without the original?
So, something that I've always had an issue with the plot in the first one, like in the original, that I hope they fix in this one.
What's that?
So, when in the original, when Jafar takes and kind of shows Jasmine he's not a prince, he's a street rat, whatever. Mm-hmm. No, he wished to be a prince. He's a prince.
Okay.
Like he's a prince.
Okay.
And Jafar did not tell Genie, hey, Genie, I wish he was a street rat again. He just used his serpent scepter to put him back in his street rat clothes.
Okay, okay. You're pointing out the flaw in the logic of the original.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And so that's something that I hope that they kind of fix in this one or something
okay.
like that.
Okay, I mean,
it's a small thing.
It's a super small thing. The original worked just fine without it. But,
but I mean, it's just something also, that always...
Also, we were born that year. We didn't care about the flaws and logic in the movies we watched.
Yes, but now that I'm getting older, I appreciate logic.
Okay, okay. That's
most of the time.
Which, hearing that from you is a fun statement anyway. But when I watched Beauty and the Beast, the remake, I thought it was a good movie. It was well put together. It was a beautiful celebration of the original, could not survive on its own.
I disagree. With the live-action ones that I've seen, with the live-action Disney movies that I've seen, categorizing the classic live-action Disney movies, so the Cinderella, Jungle Book, Maleficent, those. Beauty and the Beast, I think that that is, as of right now, the best live-action adaptation.
Okay.
Shortly behind that would be Cinderella. And then I really, really liked what they did with The Jungle Book.
With all these live actions, I feel like the more that they've come out, we've all realized, oh, Disney's doing a thing now where they're just going back to 92 and the early 90s and remaking all of these movies.
It's a cash grab.
It is.
And they're a business. It's understandable. It's their properties. They can do with whatever they want. People are eating it up. Heck, we're eating it up. I ain't complaining that they're doing this.
Not for a full movie ticket price, we're not.
Like I'm just... Now, if Beauty and the Beast was put back in theaters for any span of time... And I should preface with that. I probably think that one's better than what it is. Because that's the movie that me and Samantha saw on our honeymoon.
Oh, you got... Okay, see, like...
So there is an emotional attachment to it.
Well, for me, that's the movie I saw with my ex-girlfriend.
Or a sentimental attachment to it.
You know, I have the opposite feeling. I was in that movie with Misty.
Ooh.
Anyways, we've talked about these, you know, these different categories, these different elements of the movie. You go first. Out of five lamps, how do you think you're going to rate this movie?
Just based off of just what I've seen with the trailers and reviews from other people that, you know, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. I'll go 3.
Where I'm sitting right now, I don't look at a lot of reviews in general. I've seen the trailers. I have not been looking forward to this movie. I'm sitting at a solid 2 right now.
Where are the critics sitting on this? Like, what's the Rotten Tomato score?
The tomato meter has a 57%,
but the audience meter has a 94.
That's 57% rotten. Does that mean just...
That means that it's average. That means
that Does that mean that 57% of people thought it was rotten?
Possibly. I don't know how that thing works. But most people like us, consumers, people who aren't critiquing the movie... Well, we actually kind of are critiquing the movie.
We are definitely critiquing the movie
But like... People who go out and give these movies the ratings and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're not professional critics or anything like that.
So we would fall into that audience rating of 94, where most people seem to have liked this movie. So, I mean, I give it a 3, you give it a 2. Let's see if we lean more towards the critics when we're done, or we lean more towards the masses.
All right. Well, in that case, I guess it's off to Agrabah.
Oh, no!
So we finished the movie just now.
We're back.
There's a lot to talk about right now. I have so many notes. One in particular is hoodie vest. That man was wearing a hoodie vest.
Yeah, you just got that right at the end. I don't know why you're so hung up on that.
Because it's such
a weird... As well as other things, but we'll get into that.
It's such a weird fashion statement. But okay, first and foremost, we're going to talk about characters. We have to start by pointing out two characters that we forgot to mention in our list previously.
We forgot Raja and Carpet.
Raja and Carpet.
How, I don't know.
I mean,
but
as soon as they came on screen, and for Carpet right before he came on screen.
As soon as he went into the Cave of Wonders, I was like,
yeah, we're missing somebody.
We forgot Carpet.
Yeah. And Carpet was kind of a central character. I want to start with the animals. I'm going to put Abu, Raja, and Iago in the same category real quick. And I'll tell you why. I wasn't thoroughly impressed. Like, I feel like, okay, cool. We've seen animals on TV before.
No. I see where you're going.
Like, I could see more personality in each. Like, all three of those were characters in the 92 version. And in here, they were very well-done CGI animals.
I think that Abu still retains some of his personality.
He had moments. He had brief moments. And
I think that we'll get to Iago.
Yeah, we do need that to separate him.
That will be one because we both had feelings about that one. But Raja, I think they did really well with him. Is a CGI tiger. There's not much you could do. Abu, I think they did a good enough job with him. I think that Raja, they did what they could with him.
They have to look lifelike?
Exactly.
So I'll give you that. So, it just doesn't present the personality. You have an issue, though. Oh, you have a bigger issue. What's your big issue?
They missed the mark on Iago. Like, they had
one of the most underrated actors at all time.
Like, they wasted Alan Tudyk. Anybody could have done that. It sounded like they auto-tuned his voice.
Okay, to clarify,
throughout the entire movie.
To clarify, not even just the pitch of his voice. Like, all the words you heard from him were just little parody echoes.
Yeah.
I get he's a parrot.
But in 92...
It was such... Like, Iago was a character.
Gilbert Gottfried. You heard Gilbert Gottfried.
He had lines.
And it would have been okay had we heard Alan Tudyk come out of the bird.
I mean, Jafar's a sorcerer. We could believe that the bird could talk. We're going into a talking tiger head in the Cave of Wonders. Why can't the parrot talk? Yeah, no. We have some issues with that.
So,
Alan, if you ever hear this, we love you. We think you're great. And
we think you got shafted.
Oh, man, dude. Like, you're amazing, and your talents are better used than Transformers. He did better in Transformers.
And he had a small role in that.
But he made it such a big presence, yes. Too. Like, when you saw him on screen, like, this guy, he's got stuff going on. That's like, awesome.
Like, now, this is forever going to be on his resume. Yes, it's a Disney property, so that name alone is going to save it. But it's like, you've got...
He got paid. That's
you've got Walsh from Firefly. Mm-hmm. You've got Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball, and you've got Iago from the live-action version of Aladdin.
I tell you what, though, he probably doesn't mind. It was easy money.
Yes,
like,
but...
Look, if Disney calls me up, says, I'm going to pay you lots of dollars to say five words, sign me up. They ain't going to do that.
Not yet.
Maybe. I'm not on Alan Tudyk's level, man.
Oh, man.
Okay, so if we wanted to move on from here... Let's talk about... I'm not going to go to the main characters yet.
No, let's talk about another issue that I had with Iago first.
You're really hung up on Iago.
Good Lord. If you can be hung up on what you're hung up on, I can be hung up on this.
We'll get to that. I have my reasons for that. Tell me what your problem is.
Monster Iago?
Sorry. Spoiler alert.
Monster Iago?
The original has been out for 27 years. If you haven't seen that, you're not... Just whatever. Don't worry about it.
But why?
Why? If they needed an action sequence at the end to get the lamp. I understand directionally.
Ugh.
I just didn't like the look of it.
Oh, man. Oh.
Like, so, there was a point where, like, Iago was starting to, like, swell up like a balloon. I was like, man, does he look constipated to you? What's going on?
The animal sidekicks... We got through them.
Okay. We're gonna swap over to, let's say, Sultan. Any issues with Sultan?
No issues with Sultan. He didn't really play that big of a part in the original, didn't really play that big of a part in this one.
I thought he was charming. He was kind of cute in a weird little old man way.
He wasn't.
This one was very regal. Again, that was the difference. Like, you're dealing with a cartoon versus live action. They had to make everything very realistic.
Well, the cartoon, you're marketing to children. This one, you're marketing to...
children who became adults and watched the original.
Exactly. You're marketing to the adults that are now...
That were the children that loved the original.
But you still have to market to them.
Ugh, I disagree with you, but fine, okay? So, because you're marketing to the adults, Hitch, if they have a problem with cute little old man Sultan, they can stay home. That's fine. Moving on. How'd you feel about Jafar?
I actually really, really liked him. So he was a whiny man-child. And that's essentially what he was in the original. That would be exactly what I would have pictured Jafar as.
Okay.
Jafar, I think he did a phenomenal job.
I will say this. It wasn't Jafar to me. It was a guy acting as an evil vizier who wanted to be not second in command. Okay, now I realize
that that's Jafar.
I realize what that sounds like. Jafar had more of a sinister look to him in the original. And again, we have to deal with what my big problem is. It's not the cartoon, okay? That's my big problem. But the cartoon was beautiful because they expressed more in every character. Jafar was no exception. And so, like, Jafar comes out, and I'm just like, I remember him being more evil-looking. But now...
See, but he was.
Again.
He was still very evil-looking.
He was still very evil, just not evil enough. That's just me. Okay, I'm being picky. We're moving on. The good of Jafar, he had a backstory this time.
We did, and I made that note that we got a little more backstory on Jafar.
We got a backstory on Jafar because he tells Aladdin up front, look, I used to be like you. I used to be a street rat. And actually shows it by, you know, picking Aladdin's pocket. That was actually really well done. He tells his little henchman, I don't want to be second. Like, there's no need to be second. He tells Aladdin, if you're not the most powerful man in the room, you're nothing. Like, you got a really cool, like, understanding of who Jafar is and where he comes from.
Yeah.
I love that. I thought that was really cool. And every interaction with Jafar set up for his ultimate downfall. Now, you know, you saw the original. You knew that they were going to get him to wish to be a genie. Everyone knows this. The way it was done in this movie was this nice little put a bow on top, wrap it all up together. This is how it's done. It was really good storytelling, and I can appreciate that. One person who was on this list that deserves a mention, even though she's not featured in the original film, Dahlia, the handmaiden and eventual wife to Will Smith.
So
I feel like we need to mention her. Because, quite honestly, for a role that was not in the original, she did a great job. She added to the film. The film would have worked without her.
Then she didn't add anything to it. If the film would have worked without her, then she didn't add anything to it.
You're being picky, all right? I'm gonna accuse you of being picky here, but...
Fine, I'm going to accuse you of being real picky later, so that's fine.
Okay, cool. Can you tell me that she wasn't likable? That she wasn't fun to watch?
No, she was likable.
Okay, cool.
Like, there is this one scene... Right before the magic carpet ride and all of that.
Yeah, yeah. He's like awkwardly asking her out on a midnight stroll.
Yeah. And she keeps shutting the door, freaking out, doing the little giddy girl dance.
Like that little teenage girl, like, oh my God, he's asking me out.
That was endearing. That was funny. That was cute and
that
all that.
That was awesome.
But
and you're forgetting the part.
It could have done without it.
But you're also, look, but it was fun. These were some real scenes in a movie that could have very easily just been copy and paste of the original script. And so I can appreciate that brought in some new content there. And I really loved Aladdin's in the room. Jasmine is pretending to be the handmaiden and looks over at Dahlia.
And
looks over at Dahlia and is like, hello, Princess Jasmine. And she's like, why are you acting so weird? Oh, yes, I am Princess Jasmine. I am royal and I have a new outfit for every hour. She actually said that. I thought that was one of the best lines.
This cat's not going to clean itself. Don't cats already clean themselves?
She had the best lines.
She had some great one-liners. I'll give you that.
All right, cool. So back to the characters that actually made the movie. Jasmine, because we didn't actually talk about her yet.
I enjoyed Naomi Scott in this role.
Yes.
She did a very, very good job.
I kind of forgot that she played in Power Rangers, and I like Power
Rangers. So they really, really leaned into the feminism with her, but they didn't do it where it was just... Because Jasmine always was very much, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean that I can't do this, doesn't mean that I can't...
I thought it was tasteful because...
Yes.
Her whole point was she wasn't trying to voice an opinion because she needed
an opinion.
She was
just trying to be heard.
No, not even that. She was voicing an opinion because... This may not be good for the kingdom, and that's why I'm speaking up.
Yeah.
Every one of those moments, that was what that was.
And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. What I'm saying is they did it to where you could very much tell that that's kind of what they were getting at, but it wasn't just beating you over the head. It was very well done. It wasn't, I'm going to shove it down your throat. All men are assholes.
As men, we appreciate that. We try not to be assholes. I thought her acting was good. I thought her portrayal of Jasmine was great. She did the, and we can talk about the song later on. I think she has an incredible singing voice.
Oh, yeah, no. That absolutely.
That took me by surprise. I didn't know that.
Now, let's get to the man in the room, Aladdin. How did you feel about him?
Oh, man. I was afraid because Aladdin had some big shoes to fill that he would not be able to step into this role and be the Aladdin that I thought. I've already told you that I've got issues with Sultan and Jafar not being the cartoons, not being the expressive. However, Aladdin was the exception to this because I felt like everything that he tried to do worked. I could feel the emotion. I could feel the street ratness, the cleverness, all of that stuff that I remember from the original. And I appreciated every last bit of it. I think he did a great job. Naomi Scott, I think I'd like to see her in another movie. I'm not sure if I'd like to see this guy in another movie. Like, you know, I don't know if I liked him that much. But I think he did great as Aladdin.
I would agree. He did good enough in this role.
You don't think that he blew your mind?
No, I have the same feelings about it that you do. I wouldn't necessarily want to see him in... Now, if he was in a movie that I wanted to see, yeah, I'd go see it. But I wouldn't go... Like, there are certain people that I will go see a movie just because they're in.
Just because they're in it.
Like, Idris Elba. Mm-hmm. I will go see it just because he's in it. I don't care what it's about.
Even if it's, like, Idris Elba portraying Nick Cage?
Yes. Yes, please, Hollywood, give me that. There are people that I will see the movie or the show just because they're in it.
And this guy's just not one of them.
No.
Okay,
I just did not get that vibe.
One thing that I thought worked really well, every interaction he had with Will Smith as the genie, phenomenal. Oh, my God. If there was just a movie where they were, like, buddy cops or best friends in high school, like, whatever, I would see the two of them together any day of the week.
Because never that was in 10,000 years have I ever been that embarrassed.
Oh, my God. There's the scene where he's showing
up. That is going to be, like... You're going to hear me say that a lot now.
If you say it a lot, then it just becomes less and less true. Unless I embarrass you more and more.
You've embarrassed me since the day we met.
You called me fat since the day we met.
And that's why you embarrassed me.
Oh my God. Anyways, the scene where he walks in as Prince Ali for the first time, and he's awkwardly saying, oh yes, we have jams. We have fig jam, and apricot jam, and seedless jam, and exotic jam. We have golden camels, and we have this thing under a rag.
It's a will?
Yes, and what are you going to buy with these expensive things? You, princess. I mean, And Genie's over there like, man, you really messing up, dude. Just don't curtsy, don't bow. How did you even break that thing?
That's a curtsy, not a bow.
Stand up. Never in 10,000 years. Which leads us into Will Smith. Again, disclaimer, we love Will Smith. I personally think he's one of my favorite actors. Let me have my moment for this. Okay?
We have very different opinions on it.
Let me just have my moment.
After seeing it, we have very different opinions on it.
There were two kinds of genie in that movie today. There was, most of his part, the Will Smith genie. And that was phenomenal. The whole thing was phenomenal. He did a great job being himself as genie. And then there were the copy and paste Robin Williams lines that I can still hear... And Robin's voice, and Robin has a very unique way of saying things, and a very unique way of stringing words together that just hit your ears in a different way. The song, Never Had a Friend Like Me, I was kind of expecting that to be like an original song for Will Smith to do his own thing. They did give us that in the credits. They gave us like a Will Smith rap version, and that was really cool. That's actually on my music playlist right now. I'll be listening to it on repeat. This week, I could tell that there were line-for-line moments, and I'm just here sitting. I love Robin Williams. I miss him so much. I will never see him in another movie ever because he's just gone now.
But you have to separate that, Josh.
No, but here's the thing. If you were going to inherit a role, you have to know that there is no separation like that. Anybody who comes for, like, Joaquin Phoenix, he became the Joker, right?
Yes.
And if he played it too close to Heath Ledger's Joker...
No, then you would still judge him based off of his.
No, but he would know. He'd have to catch all those comparisons. Just like every Batman gets comparisons to the latest Batman. Like, Batfleck? Batfleck didn't do well.
Ben Affleck, small rant here.
Yeah, okay.
Ben Affleck does not deserve to wash the Batmobile. If he got too close to the Batmobile, it should shoot him. Whoever thought that it was a good idea to give Ben Affleck the role as Batman needs to be drawn, quartered. No. Not quartered. Eighthed. They need to be pulled apart in 8 different places.
Now, let's do this for a second. Let's take a look at reality, dissect it a little bit. If Batfleck came out before Christian Bale, you'd probably appreciate it just a little bit better.
No, I wouldn't. And this may be where it's a little bit different.
Okay.
We already gave Ben Affleck a chance.
Wait. You're talking about Daredevil.
Yes! We already gave him a chance at a superhero. And he killed it. Like, not knocked it out of the park, not did a good job. Like, killed it. Dead. 6 feet under.
Like, in a bad way.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
He went out as Daredevil, and because Daredevil's blind, he walked off of a cliff. Like, that was a terrible movie. And some would argue it was terrible directing, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but good actors can overcome terrible directing.
They can't overcome terrible editing.
All right,
So to bring it back to Genie. I want to say, by and large, he did a great job of making the character his own. It was only in those moments where he was speaking Robin's lines that I had issue. The rest of it was beautifully done. Thank you, Will. I knew you had it in you.
Okay, so my turn.
You're going to go back to it. Okay, cool, fine.
Fine.
We're not going to let this go. It's whatever.
No, because you're being overly critical. You are being overly critical of someone who...
I said he was doing a good job. How is that overly critical?
Yes, he's going to have Robin Williams lines because he is playing the character that Robin Williams played. Naomi Scott had copy and paste Jasmine lines. You didn't have a problem with that. Mina Massad had copy and paste Aladdin lines. Marwan Kenzari had copy and paste Jafar lines. The Sultan had copy and paste Sultan lines.
Actually, I don't think the Sultan did anything that the original Sultan did.
Like, no, he had some, but just the other main characters, they all had those copy and paste lines seem to have a problem with.
Because quite honestly, Genie was iconic in a way that the rest of the characters could not match up with, period. I love those characters. Those lines don't stick out to me nearly as much. Robin Williams' lines, I could hear his voice. I'll drop it for now. Because, you know, but that is my only qualm with Will Smith.
That aside,
yes,
this is going to be an unpopular opinion.
Yours and or mine?
Mine. I think that this portrayal of Genie was just as good as Robin Williams. I think Will Smith took this role and made it his own. And he did not copy line for line Robin Williams.
He
paid homage to him. Will Smith did Robin Williams justice in this role.
All right.
And
I'm going to say we'll agree to disagree on that one. He did respect the role, the big shoes that Robin left.
And he filled them nicely. Yeah. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed Will Smith in this role.
Okay, now something that we need to talk about.
Yes.
Since we're talking about Will Smith. The blue.
So, turns out it was motion capture.
Yeah.
And
that was not his real body.
You made a very good point.
Not even Marvel's, like, bodybuilding superhero was going to give him those pecs.
That was a little cheesy, but you made a very good point that...
While we were watching the movie,
that...
It was kind of necessary.
It was necessary because that's what an all-powerful genie would look like.
Yes.
And it would have to be CGI'd. It would have to be motion captured in order to get that because that's how he would look.
You needed the bulky abs and pecs, the big arms, which when I think of Will Smith, I do not think that he's that ripped. And it wasn't even like a Arnold Schwarzenegger ripped. It was just kind of like a puffy, chesty kind of ripped. You know what I'm saying. So, at first I thought, this is kind of weird looking. I still think it was disconcerting in some ways.
He got stung by a bee.
Nope.
For those of you who can't see us, which is all of you because it's
a podcast. It's a
podcast, you're listening to it.
Yep.
I just imitated myself getting stung in the pecs and then them poofing up.
When he wasn't blue, it worked.
Yeah.
I was actually like okay, if he didn't look blue the entire film,
like
I would have been totally fine with it. I feel like you needed to be blue because that's just who Genie was.
And his natural pigment is navy, not sky blue.
Oh my god, that line was so funny.
Like Will Smith came out in this character.
He really did. I can appreciate that because Will Smith is a professional. And he did his job. And that
consummate
was
consummate professional.
Just all right. So we're gonna move on to our next segment. Music. Let's talk about music. To start off with, we need to mention the whole movie starts with a boat and this family on it. Will Smith's there, so you know that he's Genie, but you don't know that he's Genie. They don't talk to you about him being Genie.
They took it into a different place than, like...
Apparently, he's married, he's got two kids, and is now telling a story, and they tell him, hey, we want you to sing, and he's like, oh, no singing. It's been a long day. And then goes into his rendition of Arabian Nights, and I'm sitting there like, but you just said no singing. But also, I'm not upset because Arabian Nights sounded good.
Well, and I mean, he was playing to his kids. He was doing that whole thing. And you felt that, like, he does that to them.
By his kids, you mean us. He was playing to us, the audience, that love him.
He was like, no, I can't do that. And then he's like, no, I'm going to give them what they want.
Right.
And he goes into it. Yes.
Well, he's got a good singing voice, too.
Well, I mean, him and DJ Jazzy Jeff are like
right.
Bruh. So, Arabian Nights was really, really good. So
They stick to a lot of the original, the OG songs,
mm-hmm.
and they brought out one original track, Speechless was the name of it.
Yes.
They did something a little weird with that because they put out a part one and then a part two later in the movie. How did you feel about that scene, the second part?
I thought that was really well set up.
Now, we're talking about... That Jafar is now taking over Sultan.
Yeah.
She's being dragged away by Gart.
So I thought that was really well set up.
And then she starts singing.
Time
freezes.
Because Jafar goes, so you need to do what you've always, what you should have done all along and stay silent. He tells the guards to walk him away. It was kind of weird.
Because all of a sudden, time
it's like
stopped.
This like dream sequence thing.
People started vanishing.
But that aside, the song was very good. It was very well set up.
And then they brought it back full circle because even though
it was in her head and then came back to where she was still held by the guards and she calls out to
Hakim
and it's like, you were only a little boy when you came in, when your dad came to work the grounds.
The idea was simply the song was her making the decision in her mind that she was not going
to
be speechless. And then she goes back to real world. She's still being held by guards and then yells out, Hakim, and starts convincing him to do the right thing as the royal guard.
In the before reaction, I said that there were two songs that absolutely had to be in there,
right?
And they were there. One Jump Ahead and
Whole New World. Yep.
One of the most iconic songs in all of Disney.
And you couldn't remember the name of it.
And I couldn't remember the name of it, even though I said I would be upset if it wasn't in this movie.
Right.
A Whole New World, absolutely loved that rendition. Absolutely loved it. Naomi Scott was absolutely wonderful in her role.
What a voice.
And this just goes to show you that if you're going to be an actor, if you're going to be in Hollywood, if you're going to have any kind of visual presence on any media platform, you have got to be able to do both, and she can.
She can
act and she can sing.
I would dare say
she can sing.
I want to see her sing again. Just anything that she wants to do, I want to hear it.
She did really, really well. The one issue that I had with the music in this entire movie, Mina Musad as Aladdin, I don't know if he just didn't have as strong of a voice as everybody else, and they just really liked him for his acting chops, or what.
Fact that his smile went from literally one ear to the next.
He was phenomenal in this role. We've already said that.
Yeah.
But every time he sang, it was like spoken word poetry.
It almost felt like it made more sense in a Broadway play.
Right. Like, it was very much, I can show you the world. And Marlon Brando-esque. No, not Marlon Brando. Like, Captain Kirk. Like, Captain Kirk, kind of like that real choppy.
Yeah.
Scotty, fire the laser before we die. Like, it was very...
You're moving your head all over the place when you do that, too, which
like,
is great.
Was very drastic like that.
Was part of that just because one jump is kind of a very kind of one jump, butta da thump bump.
Yeah, like, it's a very... You can go one jump ahead of the bread line, one swing ahead of the sword. I steal only what I can afford. That's everything. It was very much like he was just...
That song was very cheesy to watch.
Rhythm speaking. Rhythmically, that's the word I'm going for. Rhythmically speaking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which is something that we can't do.
No. We can barely speak. Why we're doing a podcast, I have no idea.
We're desperate for attention.
It's true. Our mothers didn't love us enough.
No, we can't say that. My mother might listen to this.
Mom, I love you, and just remember, George is the one who said it. Don't hate me.
You're not going to the baseball game. That's it. That's the end.
No more biscuits games for me. So,
but you had issue with the Aladdin performance, the singing performance especially.
Yes, the acting performance I had no problem with. It was just when he sang, I was like, oh dear God, cut my ears off.
And what's worse is when he was in, when he was singing A Whole New World, you could really tell the difference. When Naomi Scott started singing, there was just a very different power to her voice that was missing in his. And that was kind of upsetting because it's a really good song.
It is a really good song.
Everything was fun to watch.
It's really
too.
Good. Fun to
like,
watch.
Like, all the choreography. There was a dance sequence that was very, like, Bollywood style.
Oh, that was cool. Awesome. That was cool.
And Aladdin's, you know, Prince Ali is kind of being controlled by a genie to impress the princess, and he's got all sorts of these moves. That was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I would say that all these songs, all these renditions of the originals, were executed really well. And I appreciate that. The original song they threw in there, Speechless, was a nice breath of fresh air. And then they threw in this rap version of A Friend Like Me in the credits. And I will be listening to that all week.
So you made a comment that if it would have been that version in the movie... Then it would have been okay.
My comment there is not that it would have been better. I just would have liked it more.
But it couldn't have been because, like, three lines in, he mentions Jasmine. He doesn't know about Jasmine at this point.
You're right. You're right. Logically, the song wouldn't have worked. I thought that would have been a really cool way to do Friend Like Me in the movie. I'm not upset that they threw it in the credits.
And I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. I think that it would have been a very cool way to present Will Smith's genie.
I realize that as much as I would have preferred it this way, if Will Smith had abandoned the Robin Williams genie and just done his own thing, there would have been outrage that, well, how could you throw away something so iconic just to do your own thing?
And something that I read somewhere or saw somewhere, something.
Right.
When Will Smith was offered this role, he came out saying that he didn't want to line-for-line portray Robin Williams. He wanted to do the role justice. He didn't want to tarnish what Robin Williams did. So he came out saying, hey, people are going to have to expect these criticisms and comparisons and all of that. I know that I'm not Robin Williams. I'm not trying to be, but I'm going to do my best to just build on what he created.
I can respect the acknowledgement there. I can respect. And I feel like that he set out to do something and he accomplished what he set out to do. I think I can appreciate that. So at this point, we need to talk about a couple of things in the plot that we had issue with or just had a special reaction to.
Yeah. Initially, when the movie opens mm-hmm. and you see Will Smith, you see Genie for the first time, it's like he has a family? And kids?
I mentioned in the before segment, I thought, okay, cool. Will Smith's probably going to be the narrator somehow. There it was. Like, front and center. First 5 seconds.
Yes.
Boom.
Because that kind of threw me off, but they brought it back.
They did. By giving him Dahlia and letting that be a romantic interest, which was cute. That was very cute.
Another thing, there's a scene mm-hmm. where Jafar is talking to one of the guards. This guy just says, you're second only to the Sultan. That's as far as you're going to be able to go because you got to be royalty.
He was saying it as if, like, dude, why do you need what's in this cave? You're powerful enough. You're only second to Sultan.
And then Jafar said, nah, that ain't good enough. And, like, He doesn't Spartan kick him into the well.
Was there a kick?
No, there wasn't a kick, but it was like he like pushed him.
Yeah.
And it was very reminiscent of Gerard Butler in 300 when
he yells out, "This is Sparta," and then kicks him.
Fun fact, that made that into an Assassin's Creed game.
Oh, Odyssey was so good.
And one of the special moves you can do, it was the Spartan kick for the fun of it. Mm. And I appreciated using that move every single time.
So
it wasn't even that powerful, but it was fun.
So in the original, before I go into this, they took out a lot of Aladdin's one-liners. One of my favorite lines in the original was in that scene, the prince is coming up, the kids are running out, they get in front of him, and the prince goes to whip the kids, Aladdin comes out, and it's like, "I thought someone as rich as you could afford some manners," and throws the whip back in his face.
Oh, and, yeah.
And then the guy says, "You were born a street rat, you will die a street rat, you are worthless. And only your fleas will mourn you." And then as the guy's walking away, look at that, Abu. It's not every day you see a horse with two rear ends. Like, I wanted that line to be in the movie, and when it wasn't, it disappointed me.
It would have led to a different plot. It would have affected the plot.
It wasn't even
a prince there.
But
you're right. They didn't portray him as a very quick-witted guy.
But it still could have been done. He's in this version. It was Hakim that did that. But it still could have worked.
They gave him some one-liners. I remember this.
They did give him some, but
more of his character, quote unquote, was shown through his ability to parkour and his inability to dance without the assistance of an all-powerful cosmic being. He wasn't witty like Aladdin was. And I can see your point there.
That really got under my skin.
What else you got?
And then one of my favorite lines in the entire movie was at the very end, after Jafar is sucked into the lamp, and Genie was like, "Hey, we can do all of this stuff. I can make you a prince. You want all the laws and customs of Agrabah? Right here. Must marry a prince." It can just go away.
I thought Will Smith was pulling some Italian gangster stuff, and I wasn't sure what to feel about
throwing some Al Pacino in there, Godfather thing.
Yes!
Yeah.
That was actually really fun to watch, but I was like, oh my God, chills.
So that was really cool, but it's right after that, after he frees the genie. Mm-hmm. So me and you, we work in the service world. Aladdin says, "Genie, I wish you were free."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The little bracelets fall off, and Genie's like, "Tell me to do something. Tell me to do something."
Aladdin awkwardly says, "Can you get me some jam?"
And Genie goes, get it yourself. To which you said,
"That is the deepest wish of every server I've ever met."
Anybody in the service industry ever. We are there to please people.
Oh,
but
my God. There are some people.
There are some people
that will not be pleased.
Get it yourself. Like, I will show you where it's at, and you can get it yourself.
I had a guy just this week tell me, like, yell at me from across the dining room, "Hey, can you get me my check?" And I wasn't even his server. And I'm like, why would you? That's just not cool, bro. Why? Mm.
That resonated in a very deep spiritual way with both of us, because it's like, yes, there are people in this world that we just want to tell them, get it your own dang self. I ain't doing it.
Oh, my God. Yep. So, moving right along, we're going to jump into a really fun part. We thought about this before recording the second part. We want to rate the individual characters as to how well they did in their roles. First one, let's just go ahead and get this one out of the way. Genie?
I give him 5 lamps out of 5. I think he was just as good as the original rendition.
I'm going to give him 4.5. Hear me. He will never be able to replace Robin Williams. And I realize what you're going to try to tell me. He wasn't trying to. I appreciate the respect he gave to the film. I could hear Robin's voice. And there's always going to be a part of me that says, but it's not him. So 4 out of 5. I feel like I'm being very generous here. That's my thought.
Wait, 4.5 or 4?
4.5 out of 5. I can't do math.
Because you said 4.
I mean 4.5. 4.5 out of 5.
Say what you mean, Joshua.
I mean 2, because he wasn't Robin. I want Robin. Fine. 4.5 out of 5.
Right, next.
We're gonna go into Aladdin.
Mina Musaud. I'd give him a 3.7.5. 3.75.
I would give him a 20 because, goodness gracious, all those teeth.
every time he smiled.
So then everywhere. You should give him the 32.
I should give him 32.
One for every tooth.
Yep. I should give him 32 lamps, one for every tooth, because that smile was so daggone big. No, I'm going to give him, I'm going to give him 4 out of 5 lamps. There were some good parts. He was not as good as Will Smith as Genie, period. Your point about his singing, I think, made a lot of sense.
Honestly, had his singing been better, I don't think I would have given him a 5. Still don't think that he would have been as good.
I thought he was a great street rat.
I would have given him a higher ranking.
Now, I will give that hoodie vest 5 out of 5.
Ugh. All right. Next, Naomi Scott, Jasmine.
Jasmine. She is pretty. She's got a great singing voice. Her acting was fantastic. And now I kind of want to go watch Power Rangers again, just to kind of compare. I did not remember that she played in that film until we talked about this movie and talked about watching it.
Yep.
I'm going to give her 5 out of 5 lamps easy. She was all around a great actress, a great singer, a great talent. I want to see her in something else now.
I would agree. She's one of those. So I mentioned those actors that.
You're gonna add her to this list?
I would add her to the tier right under this.
Okay.
Where there are those actors, like the ones that I mentioned before.
She's not Jennifer Aniston to you?
No. Like, she's not someone that I would seek out going to see her movies in theaters. I would seek her out in other stuff that's already come out.
That's fair.
But I would not make a point to get to the theaters to see it.
So now we're going to talk about Jafar. What's your rating?
I would give him 6 out of 5 lamps. I think that he did the best at portraying the character out of anybody in this movie.
I think he did the best at portraying Jafar as a human. I think that a human Jafar looks just like that and did what he would do. And I appreciate the backstory. But He will never be Jafar to me. Jafar in the originals was just so much more charismatic. He was so much more charismatic as a cartoon.
It's a cartoon. You can do more with a cartoon.
Like I said.
Also,
Robin Williams could do more without a cartoon. I'll tell you that much.
But he was engaging.
He had a good backstory.
Like, we developed more of a relationship with him. We found out a little bit more about him. Mm-hmm. And something that I like about this one, he didn't so more rely on, like, the visual deception of stuff. He was very much forefront out there. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing.
He was kind of persuasive as a vizier. He did not necessarily need the snake snap, but the snap snake.
And I think that he did a phenomenal job in this role. And he was my favorite character in the entire movie.
That's fair. I'm going to give him 3 lamps. And you know what? Because you gave him more than the scale allows, I think that balances out.
Okay.
Now, there is one character that deserves a rating, even though this character was not in the original, Dahlia. It's kind of hard because she wasn't in the original. There's nothing for her to really be compared to, but I loved her. She was great.
She had some moments, I'll give you that.
I'm going to give her 5 lamps, easy.
I'm going to give her 3. Okay. Because the movie would have done just as well without her.
And you know what? Die Hard would do just fine without Christmas.
Okay. Y'all just witnessed the end of this podcast. This is the last episode you ever gonna hear because he about to die.
Oh my god. Alright, so to wrap this beautiful whole thing up, we have to look at the movie as a whole with characters, music, plot, even with the intricacies of weird stuff like almost exploding Iago. What's your rating for the movie overall?
So going in, I gave it a 3. I went middle of the road. Didn't really have a lot of high expectations. But I would say that it delivered. It did a good job overall as a movie. Would definitely recommend that people see it. I'd give it a 4. I'd go up 1.
I can't believe I'm saying this because I lowballed it. Now, I'm going to give it a 5. I'm surprised to hear myself say that because I didn't have hopes for Will Smith. I didn't have hopes for any of the rest of the cast. Cautious about the music. Everything that this movie set out to do, it did really well and surpassed a lot of my expectations. Paid homage to the original, even with my hang-ups on Genie's portrayal, I think the movie did great overall.
No, I can respect that. And were it not for just a few things,
you probably would have given it a 5 as well.
If Aladdin had a better singing voice, if Iago would have been Iago.
And here's I feel like if Alan Turtick was an Iago, if I didn't know Alan Turtick was Iago, I probably wouldn't have had an issue with Iago.
Fair.
But and that kind of, like, there's so many things in this movie that there's a lot of other things that kind of make up for it.
Yeah.
Like, even though he wasn't a cartoon Jafar admittedly did a really good job. When he became Genie, oh my goodness, the megalomaniac was right there, full center. It was a beautiful representation of the emotions involved in there. Like, it felt like more of a real character than, like, the yellow-eyed red Genie that we had in the cartoon. That one was weird. This one was, like, a much better way to do it. I'm gonna stick with Five Lamps.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on this magic carpet ride with us. We really, really enjoyed doing this. This is something that you can probably expect to see from us more in the future.
This was my favorite episode to date to put together, not only in the planning of this episode, which we're doing more to plan out our episodes and give it a little bit more structure, but also keep it free form as much as possible. It was fun to go watch the movie and then get snacks for the movie, not in that order.
We're sitting down after we record the first part of this, and Josh is like, do you need snacks? And I was like, I always need snacks. So we went and got snacks.
Yeah, we got snacks. We watched this movie. It was a great time.
It was so fun.
We thoroughly enjoyed talking about our reactions afterward and being very pleasantly surprised at how this movie turned out.
It was just an overall fun experience, so you can expect to see more of these kinds of episodes on the show. But with all that being said,
We have a couple questions for you guys. First and foremost, if you have any responses to this movie, any reactions, if they agree with us or disagree with us, let us know. You can find us on all the on the socials. Hashtag JG Podcast. But then also, the more important question.
If you had a magic lamp and a genie, and he popped out and said, you got 3 wishes, what would you wish for? With the rules in mind, cannot bring anybody back from the dead, cannot make anybody fall in love. What would you wish for?
My first wish would be, I wish you weren't so blue.
My first wish would be unlimited cheese balls.